Take your scriptures and let's return to the place where we find our instructions, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We began last month with a little more intensive study of these instructions as given by the Apostle Paul. Last month at the preparation to partake of the Lord's table, we found some guiding principles that we began to discern from those first early verses, and today we will build upon those guiding principles. In verse 23, we found guiding principle number one, namely that the Lord's table is a priority remembrance among the Lord's people on earth. The Lord Himself initiated the practice with His apostles in the upper room before Gethsemane, before crucifixion, before resurrection, before ascension. The Lord assigned this to the apostles by way of establishment and carrying forth in the church on earth. It is a priority remembrance because, as Paul said in verse 23, he got this from the Lord. It was by direct revelation from God in the person of Jesus Christ that Paul received these words that he then gave over to the church at Corinth by way of this instruction. We also said from verse 23 that the table of the Lord is a public remembrance. Paul received these instructions directly from the living Lord for the church. These instructions were delivered unto, says the text, God's people at Corinth and for all God's people on earth. Thus we call this text our instructions. We said that the Lord's table is based or predicated remembrance upon, of course, the celebration of Passover. The Lord just didn't take bread. He took that bread. He took that bread of the Passover table, giving it new meaning in the death that He died for our sins. And then finally, last month, we said from verse 24 that the Lord's table was a prayerful remembrance, noting that before the disciples partook of the bread, Jesus prayed. We try to follow the very pattern that the Lord gave by pausing for prayer and examination before we partake of the table and celebrate the truth of the gospel together. And now this morning we build upon the statements that we have formerly studied, and we'll particularly focus upon verses 25 and 26. But let's back up and just reread 23 to 26 and get those words again in our minds. For I have received of the Lord, Paul received from Christ, that which also I delivered unto you, the church at Corinth, but for all believers, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, Paul wasn't there, but as an apostle of Christ was given personal insight into this moment of time, took bread, not just any bread, but Passover bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup. When He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye, plural, not singular, eat this bread and drink this cup, ye, plural, not singular, do show, proclaim, the Lord's death till He come. The fifth guiding principle that we add to the four we considered last time has to do with the fact that the Lord's table is a very personal remembrance of Jesus Christ and His mission of redemption. Verse 24 at the end says, this do in remembrance of Me. This is about Christ. Here at the table, we deliberately remember our Lord and His work on the cross in the death that He died for our sins. Before, of course, glorious resurrection, and that resurrection declaring the acceptance of the Father's work of the Son as proven. So says Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. The Lord's table is a personal remembrance of Jesus Christ. You and I all have people in our life that we are fond to remember. You may have a token, an item, maybe a ring or a necklace, maybe a watch or a jackknife, that every time you see it and touch it and use it, it brings back the aspect of the memory of that person in your heart and your mind. The Lord's table is meant to be a very personal remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to specifically think about Him in relationship to us in the fellowship of this table. We are particularly to focus again upon the death that He died. It's interesting that the world's concept of celebration is a little skewered from the biblical indication of the thing. Constantly, as often as possible, you and I are called upon to remember the Lord Jesus in the death that He died. And yet, on a weekly basis, by nature of the day of the week in which we worship, resurrection is duly noted. How often do we remember the resurrection? Well, every Sunday. Why Sunday? Well, because it's the day that the Lord Jesus Christ rose. So the idea of resurrection is not something that is once a year, but literally in the church, once a week. And has been since the beginning of the Lord's church on earth. Likewise, the crucifixion is a regular and routine part of the memory bank, the personal reflection and memory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus gave us this to do as a personal remembrance of Him. Number six, the guiding principle number six, the Lord's table is a pictorial remembrance with special focus upon His body and His blood, 24:25. Even our children know that the bread eaten represents the broken body of our Lord on our behalf, and that the fruit of the vine crushed represents the blood that He shed in sacrifice for our sins. You've heard me often say that the Lord's table really represents the genius of God, as in the celebration of this particular thing God gave us to do, all of our senses are employed. There's something to touch. There's something to taste. There's something to see. There's something to hear. The senses are employed in this moment of remembrance of Christ. It is a very pictorial remembrance. I suppose you could say that the Lord's table or the communion table is the single greatest object lesson of all time. The Lord chose the elements to uniquely represent Him. Bread, in that it is indeed made from that which comes from the earth. The bread of life, which comes from the earth, which comes by growing and grinding and baking. And unleavened bread, because the Lord indeed was sinless. And so bread becomes a symbol, element of memorialization of Jesus Christ in the body that He gave on the tree for our sins. And then the blessedness of the pictorial representation of crushed fruit of the vine. A couple weeks ago in the children's class, I brought a Ziploc bag filled with grapes. And I went around the room and let every kid in the room squish them. It's amazing how much fun it is to squish grapes when there's no mother or father saying, "Don't do that!" All the kids delighted. I enjoyed squishing them myself. And then after squishing the grapes, I poured out the grape juice into a cup and drank it. And I did that because of the very first promise that God ever gave to mankind. That He would bruise the head of the serpent. And the word bruise, as used in Genesis 3:15, is likewise translated in Isaiah 53, to crush. So God in His genius has given us a thing that is crushed, from which we drink to evoke the senses towards the love gift of Christ in our regard. Again, herein lies the greatest object lesson to help the church at worship and instruction. Herein lies the truth of the gospel in tangible form. Guideline number 7. The Lord's table is a perpetual remembrance. We do this oft, as we do it in sweet memory of Jesus. The pattern is not prescribed as to week or month, but just by the words, as often as ye eat and drink it, verse 26. Each local church decides how often they will do this. But doing this is not an option for any God-honoring local assembly. This is not a private memorial. This is a public memorial. It's almost humorous when, as a young pastor, you take your first trip to the Christian bookstore, and for the first time in your life, you feel permission to visit that little tiny section in the store that is designated for clergy. You ever been there? You ever picked up anything in that section? No, you have not. Section doesn't belong to you. But once you're a young pastor, you go to the Christian bookstore and you go to that little section called clergy because that's what they tell you you are. Of course, the word clergy simply means inheritance, and I know I got one, so I'm happy with that. But nonetheless, so do you have one, an inheritance. But nonetheless, I go to the section, I look at the stuff, and there's hardly anything in that section that I would ever use. At the typical Christian bookstore, the section called clergy, even though I am one, in the eyes of the world, there isn't anything there I'd even hardly use. And so much of what is there has to do with these little tiny kits that are sold. So you can take a little cup and a little thing, and you can take your little kit to a hospital room, or take your little kit to a bedside, or take your little kit to a nursing home, and you can do your little communion thing as if somehow there's something magical in the taking of communion, even if by yourself. It doesn't work that way. This is a we thing, not a me thing. This is a local church thing. And God's people certainly are to take of this together in remembrance of Him perpetually over time, until the Lord, of course, returns. And then the final thing this morning I'd say by way of guideline from these verses is that the Lord's table is a preaching remembrance. And I don't do it. You do. One of the most outstanding verses in this particular section of the Word of God is, of course, that reality that is found in verse 25 and 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, 26, ye, plural, not singular, do show the Lord's death till He come. Now, the old English word shew, S-H-E, is really not the English word show. We represent the word show most often when we try to modernize the word shew. It's not on your feet. You with me? But here's the old English word, shoe, to shoe a thing. And we don't use that word at all in the modern reality of our expression. And if we did, the word would not be show. The word would be proclaim or preach. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim, you do preach the Lord's death till He come. The ye speaks of corporate action and whole church activity. We proclaim or preach the truth of the gospel by partaking of the Lord's table together. And we should expect to continue to partake and to preach together like this until the Lord returns for His own. This reality is something that we do in preaching or proclaiming together. In that sense, we do believe in women preachers. Well, I'm glad to have Sherry preach in this moment in time, along with Dawn and along with Elaine and along with the rest of you. This is something we do to declare our faith in the reality of our resurrected Lord. The Christian celebration noted on the calendar today is all about the Lord's life. And we certainly join in that glorious truth. But the Lord's table is about the preaching of the cross and the significance of the Lord's death. This is the preaching that seems foolishness to those that are perishing, but for us that believe, is the power of God unto salvation. Surely we all know and appreciate that no thoughts of the cross can be rightly separated from the resurrection or vice versa, since we do this until the Lord returns. We like to think of the Lord's table as our prescription and our practice in between the two comings of Christ. He came, we partake until He comes. He came, we partake until He comes. He came, we partake until He comes. Indeed, as we often do sing, we serve in this our risen Savior. Father, this morning, it's been wonderful to meet together and to worship You in the former hour. It's a blessing to return to these words of our instruction in this hour, and to anticipate the preaching of the gospel at the Lord's table as You have designed it by the whole of the congregation in participation. Help us then as we prepare our hearts to honor this table in remembrance of Thee. For we do pray in Jesus' name and for His blessed sake. Amen.